2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. Dave and Dejanovic have inside sources.
Well, today it's Dave and Ethan. Ethan Millard in for Dave Noriega. Dave's back next week with me. Good morning once again, Ethan.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm having the best time.
We are having a good time, aren't we?
I told you, between doing the greenhouse show last Saturday and this Saturday, and with you right here in between, this is the best week I've had in a long time.
Oh, thank you. Now we got Boyd Matheson in to ruin
to ruin it all. Killjoy is here.
It's the Debbie Downer.
Yeah.
That's what.
No, we outlawed that word.
We outlawed Debbie Downer. No. Boyd Matheson, of course, you hear him every day right here on KSL News Radio from 1 to 3. And just a couple of days ago, you had a very important topic and very timely topic, as you always do on the show. And it involves the crisis at the border. And let me just set the scene here. I just looked up some data, and I just about fell over when I read this, because you always hear about the cases of the children with their phone numbers being etched in their hands and being dropped over the border wall. But this puts it in perspective of how big of a crisis we have going on down there, guys. 14,000 unaccompanied children last month at the border. And that's a decrease because in March we had almost 19,000 kids unaccompanied show up at the border.
Yeah.
It's just a staggering number of children. Thankfully, for organizations like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they're making efforts to assist migrant families with a new transfer center in Houston. And Boyd, I want to learn more about this, and I want our listeners to hear about your coverage on this.
Yeah, it was really interesting. We had the opportunity to speak with Elder Arthur Rascone from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, an area authority there in Houston. And they have set up this center, Family Transport Center, Transfer Center, where families that are seeking asylum, they're waiting their asylum hearings, where they can get in there, they can get showered, they can get cleaned up, they can get fed, they can get supplies, and they can get to wherever they need to get to next. And really is a service that is not just the Church of Jesus Christ, but is also the Catholic Charities is involved, YMCA is involved. So this is really civil society at its finest coming together to provide some critical services.
It's called the Family Transfer Center. And there we can have hundreds of migrants as they make their way, not just into the United States, but as well, they're trying to eventually get to families and sponsors throughout the United States. So they come to this center. They're there for less than 24 hours. The center is located in Houston. Houston, we are simply providing the humanitarian support along with a lot of other charitable organizations and faith-based groups right here in the Houston area.
So this gives them a safe place to go because, you know, these are the crossing the border like this is a very, very dangerous proposition. You're in with a lot of dangerous people, and this will give families a safe place to arrive. How long do they expect these families to stay before they're able to move on to their next destination?
Yeah, it's really designed just as a 24-hour kind of a layover stop. It's a chance for them to orient, exhale. As you said, Ethan, so important. Just think of the mental gymnastics of going through that journey and then not knowing what is next. So it's really designed as a 24-hour really a transfer center where they can come in, get cleaned up, get the clothes they need, get the supplies they need, get good food, and then make sure they have that next stop, whether that's to a family member somewhere else or to a sponsor somewhere around the country. So really designed to move people in, move people out, and they can handle up to 500 every day.
With the tens of thousands of unaccompanied minors coming across the border just this year alone, this center, is that set up for those children, or is this for families that are coming over together, Boyd?
My understanding is it's designed primarily for families, but with the children in mind. One of the interesting things that Elder Rascone mentioned was a comment from President Russell M. Nelson of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who said, you know, we have to do something for the children. And that was really the impetus for this particular center to go up just outside of Houston.
Yeah, it's just so astonishing what's happening down there. And really, I think the number of and the queue, I think the queue for us here is the unaccompanied minors.
Yeah.
It shows us how bad things are in Mexico and Central America, that families feel like this is a better option for their child.
Yeah, and there's so many interesting things. I know you've been covering things like the vice president's visit,
yes,
to that Northern Triangle, and some of the mixed messages there of, well, reunite families at the border, don't come to the border, and so some of those things have been really hard and really confusing. I think one of the most important things that we have to keep in mind, and I think it's really at the heart of what this center is about outside of Houston, and that is, far too often we look at those coming across the border as liabilities to be managed instead of people with,
yeah,
infinite potential to be developed. And that is, yeah, the essence of who we are as a country. These are not liabilities to be managed. These are people with infinite potential, and they will make a difference in this country.
Well, and that's one of the things that's so frustrating, because when you look at how much good the U.S. could do with improved policy towards Mexico and Central, yeah, America. You know, we've, over the last little while, we've focused so much on holding everyone at arm's length, when really our future is fewer borders. Our future is closer collaboration, closer communities, yeah, cross borders. And that's what will give us all that improved yeah, lifestyle.
Yeah, all the things that really matter. And for a long time, we've tried to just dump money into these governments, thinking that would prop up a democracy. Vice President Harris mentioned it specifically. We know people want to stay at home. And so if they're fleeing, they're fleeing for a reason.
Yeah.
I think the one thing we have to get to, and we have to get back to as far as that policy that you're talking about, Ethan, is that we need to make sure that these governments, many of which have a lot of corruption in them, are setting up systems that support entrepreneurs and small businesses.
Yeah.
Because entrepreneurs and small businesses fuel freedom. They always have. Even back to the beginning of our own country, we talk about the founding fathers as these great, wise, noble souls, which they were, but they were really just a bunch of entrepreneurs and business owners. They drive, yeah, freedom. And that's what we have to get to in terms of policy, so that we can create that kind of interconnected world that you're talking about.
Well, I love what you said about seeing them as people with great potential, because, you know, we need to get back to that here in the United States, that expansive prosperity mindset where we
abundance.
Do have room, and,
yeah,
we do have opportunities, and we do want people. And we've had this scarcity mindset for the last several years, where we got to keep people out. We can't let them have this. We can't do this for them. We can't give them this because there's not enough.
Yeah.
We got to turn that around, because there is enough.
Yeah.
I mean,
enough
really
and to spare. There is abundance. In fact, a new polling just came out. Scott Rasmussen polling, was talking to him yesterday. 74% of Americans believe that the future of our country will be dependent on legal immigration, on people coming here, because that's what's always driven us and moved us forward as a country.
Yeah. Boyd Matheson, Inside Source, says, look forward to new conversations today from 1 to 3 right here on KSL News Radio. What's your take tonight on the Jazz game before I let you go?
Jazz win. And it is part of infrastructure.
Big win.
We've defined it. Look at the cranes out here. Okay. Every time we win, there's another crane. Yeah. It helps the city.
What I cannot stomach tonight is a Jazz down by 13 at half.
No, I can't do that again.
I coached
junior Jazz basketball, some with players who had never played. We never missed 20 shots in a row ever in my whole coaching career. The Jazz will do better tonight.
All right. Boyd awesome. Matheson, look forward to 1 o'clock this afternoon. Straight ahead, hey, if you're a vapor and you're finding it hard to rip that vape pen out of your hands, or maybe you're a parent whose kid vapes, stick around, because we're going to talk about the long-term effects that have just been discovered in a new study by Intermountain Healthcare, actually. They're going to call the show live straight ahead about the vape's long-term effects on the brain.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.